ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading this morning from the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 15 entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, text number 63 and 64.
Karyakaranavastvaikya darshanam patatantuva avastutvad vikalpasya bhavadvaitam taduchate
karya. Translation: when one understands that result and cause are one and that duality is ultimately unreal, like the idea that the threads of a cloth are different from the cloth itself, one reaches the conception of oneness called bhavadvaita.
Yad brahmani pare sakshat sarva karma samarpanam manovak tanubhipartha kriya dvaitam taduchyate.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation: my dear Yudhishthir, Partha, when all the activities one performs with his mind, words and body are dedicated directly to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one reaches oneness of activities called Kriyadvaita. Purport: the Krishna consciousness movement is teaching people how to come to the stage of dedicating everything to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:27, yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. If whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we think, and whatever we plan is for the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement, this is oneness. There is no difference between chanting for Krishna consciousness and working for Krishna consciousness. On the transcendental platform, they are one. But we must be guided by the spiritual master about this oneness. We should not manufacture our own oneness. My dear Yudhishthir, when all the activities one performs with his mind, words and body are dedicated directly to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one reaches oneness of activities called Kriyadvaita. Very interesting terms, quite confusing also many times. Bhavadvaita, Kriyadvaita. Yudhishthir Maharaj is being spoken to by Narad Muni, and Narad Muni is explaining to Yudhishthir Maharaj these two concepts called Bhava Advaita and Kriya Advaita. Oneness of conception and oneness of activity. He explains how oneness of conception is that you understand that the result and the cause are one. Very difficult to understand anyways. And then he talks about Kriya Advaita, or oneness of activity. And that's quite a simple thing to understand, devotional service. When one uses one's mind, words and body in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is called as Kriya Advaita. Srila Prabhupada's purport talks about a Krishna-centered lifestyle where one uses one's minds, one's body, one's words and all the resources that one has in service to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada says that one will not be able to practice Kriya Advaita until unless one has the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, one will not be able to practice this Kriya Advaita properly. So, Srila Prabhupada talks about a Krishna-centered lifestyle. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the prayers of Lord Brahma to Lord Krishna after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, Brahma explains what is the nature of household life without Krishna. household life has to have Krishna in the center. Any ashram, whether it's Grihastha ashram, Brahmachari ashram, Vanaprastha ashram or Sannyas ashram, must have Krishna as the center. And lifestyle must be Krishna-centered. It's not a question of whether one is a Brahmachari or whether one is a householder, but lifestyle has to be Krishna-centered, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this purport. Pejavar Swami always very, you know, always speaks about this concept of household life, which is centered on Krishna. And he explains that a house is called as Bhavan. And the first syllable of this word Bhavan is Bhagavan. So when Bhagavan is the center of the household, then it is called as Bhavan. But as soon as Bhagavan is gone from the house, which is kind of the case today, most times it is the case today, as soon as Bhagavan is very decently, politely requested to get out of the household, then what remains is a one. When Bha goes out of the Bhavan, then it is one. And one means a place where animals live. Wolves, jackals, snakes, tigers, lions, panthers, alligators, all kinds of wild animals live in a one. In a Bhavan, human beings live. And human beings worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, as the center of their life. But as soon as Bhagavan is gone and only one stays, then there is fighting, then there is quarreling, even over property issues. And one cannot imagine the extent to which people can go simply in terms of snatching away others' property, because Bhagavan is not the center of life. One devotee, you know, his own aunt, father's sister, took the grandmother away for a 2 months tour of the West. And grandmother, very sick, snatched away the passport, you know, so that the identity of the grandmother is with her now. And then took the grandmother to her own house, very rich lady, very, very wealthy lady, and made a will before the grandmother died. You know, had a will made, and in the will, she got everything in her own name. And the brother who's living in the grandmother's house now, the will says within a year's time, the house has to be vacated. And now the brother and the children are, you know, in a fix. What to do? This is sister, own sister. But that's what happens when there is no Krishna-centered lifestyle. When there is no Bhagavan-centered lifestyle. There is only quarrel, you know. Because this age is anyways an age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Then it becomes one with all the animals just coming together, growling at each other, snarling at each other, and simply trying to fight over trivial issues. Sometimes over property issues, sometimes over monetary issues, sometimes over, you know, respect, position, status, fame, this and that. And therefore, Brahmaji in this prayer is explaining what happens when Krishna is not the center of the household. Tavad ragadayastenaha, tavad karagriham griham, tavad mohangri nigadu, yavan Krishna natejanaha. Yavan Krishna Natejana. When Krishna is not the center of the household, Krishna Natejanaha. What is the result? Firstly, Tavat Kara Griham Griham. The Griha, the house, becomes Kara Griha, the prison. The house no longer remains a house, it now becomes a prison. And prison is a place where people suffer, not enjoy. I mean, how many times have we found, you know, people enjoying in the prison? So if Krishna is not the center of the household, then graha becomes karagraha. Of course, people today want their house to become karagraha because they think kar is, the plural of kar in Sanskrit is kara. So they think karagraha means we'll have more and more cars in our house. So they are very happy to make their griha into karagraha. We'll have a BMW, a Ferrari, a limo, a Jaguar, you know, or a Porsche. Or if you're a little primitive, you might have a Mercedes-Benz. Right. That's primitive. You know, that's a primitive person who has a Merc is a primitive man. But if you're upmark, you're with the times, then you must have a BMW, a limo, a Jaguar, maybe a Panther will come after a while, who knows. Right. That's Karagraha for a lot of people today. And they're very happy to make their Griha into a Karagraha, having more and more cars and becoming more and more bound. Of course, there's no harm having cars. But the principle is, without Krishna, tavat kara graham graham, the house becomes
अ प्रिजन हाउस, काराग्रह. तावत मोहांग्री निघडो, एंड वंस अफेक्शन टू वंस फैमिली मेंबर्स बिकम्स निगड और शैकल्स. जस्ट लाइक इन अ हाउस, यू नो विच इज अ प्रिजन, इन अ प्रिजन हाउस देन द प्रिजनर इज बाउंड बाय शैकल्स एंड दैट इंक्रीजेस द सफरिंग इवन मोर. सो विदाउट कृष्णा इज द सेंटर ऑफ द हाउस होल्ड, द हाउस बिकम्स काराग्रह, अ प्रिजन हाउस, एंड वंस अटैचमेंट एंड अफेक्शन टू वंस फैमिली मेंबर्स बिकम्स निगड़ और शैकल्स विच रिस्ट्रिक्ट्स वंस फ्री मूवमेंट एंड वन सफर्स इन सच कृष्णा लैकिंग फैमिली लाइफ. एंड ब्रह्मा जी गोज फर्दर टू एक्सप्लेन, तावत रागादयस्तेन, एंड ऑल वंस मटीरियल डिजायर्स दे एक्ट एज तेन और थीव्स एंड दे स्टील अवे द पीस ऑफ वंस लाइफ. यू नो वट डू थीव्स डू? थीव्स स्टील. एंड देयरफॉर दीज मटीरियल डिजायर्स राग आदय दे बिकम थीव्स टू स्टील अवे द पीस ऑफ वंस लाइफ, टू स्टील अवे वंस हैप्पीनेस, टू स्टील अवे वंस कंटेंटमेंट एंड सैटिस्फैक्शन. वेरी पावरफुल वर्स. ऑफ कोर्स दिस डज नॉट टॉक अबाउट कृष्णा कॉन्शियस गृहस्थाश्रम. ब्रह्माजी स्पीकिंग हियर अबाउट अ लाइफ स्टाइल विच इज विदाउट कृष्ण. यावन कृष्ण नते जन, हाउस बिकम्स प्रिजन एंड अटैचमेंट टू द फैमिली मेंबर्स बिकम्स शैकल्स एंड मटीरियल डिजायर्स बिकम थीव्स हु स्टील अवे द पीस ऑफ वंस माइंड. एंड देयरफॉर एज सून एज कृष्ण बिकम्स द सेंटर ऑफ वंस लाइफ, दैट इज वृंदावन लाइफ स्टाइल. वृंदावन मीन्स कृष्णा इज द सेंटर ऑफ एवरी एक्टिविटी. इफ यू गो इन वृंदावन, इफ यू रीड द 10th कैंटो ऑफ द श्रीमद भागवतम, एवरी सिंगल थिंग इज बेस्ड ऑन कृष्ण, एवरी सिंगल थिंग इज सेंटर्ड अराउंड कृष्ण. सो इन गृहस्थाश्रम इफ कृष्णा इज द सेंटर ऑफ द लाइफ, दैट इज वृंदावन. भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर सेज, जे दिन गृहे भजन देखी गृहे ते गोलोक भाय. He says, when I come back home after a hard day's work in the British court as a British magistrate and I see everyone's chanting Hare Krishna, lifestyle is all centered around Krishna. Grihete goloka bhai, that griha instead of kara griha becomes goloka. So in order to transform the kara griha to goloka, there has to be jedina grihe bhajan dekhi. Griha, there must be bhajan. In any ashram, when Krishna is the center, that becomes Vrindavan, that becomes Goloka. And therefore, it is explained that one should circumambulate the temple of the Lord. Circumambulation of the temple of the Lord, what does it do? Prabhupada explains in his Nectar of Devotion that when one circumambulates the temple of the Lord, the deity of the Lord, then that stops the repetition of the cycle of birth and death. But one devotee was also explaining that when one circumambulates and goes around in the circle, circle means center. We cannot have a circle without a center. So when we are going around the temple, that is to indicate that Krishna is the center of my life. Today, this circumambulation has become a mere ritual. That a lot of people in India can go around the temple, round and round and round. And when they go around, it's a good exercise, you know, morning walk, afternoon walk. And some fat can go away. It's not a bad thing to burn out some calories by walking around. But a lot of people do not understand what the essence of that circumambulation is. The essence of circumambulation is that while I'm going around, I'm supposed to change my lifestyle. The lifestyle has to be Krishna-centered. Even if there is no facility to walk around the temple, if the lifestyle is Krishna-centered, one is doing circumambulation of the temple. Srila Prabhupada came to break this loop of ritualism. And he gave us a Krishna-centered lifestyle. Many of us, when we come to Radha Gopinath Mandir, we are not able to circumambulate Radha Gopinath. Of course, we are when we stand in the prasadam queue. Our circumambulation is prasadam queue. You know, we move from here, go down the stairs, and then we go around and come to the prasadam hall, and then take the prasadam plate and come back. And when we finish our prasadam, we go to wash the plate to the same place. So that happens to be a managerial circumambulation. But most of us are not able to really go around the temple really, you know, in terms of circumambulating the deities. That does not matter. Many of our ISKCON temples don't have a circumambulation path because of practical difficulties and space constraints. Srila Prabhupada, wherever possible, gave us the opportunity to even do that, the ritual. But if that facility is not available, then what is important is to understand that circle means center. And if I go around the temple, that should indicate that Krishna is the center of my life. If I'm not able to go around, doesn't matter. Let me focus on my lifestyle as a Krishna conscious lifestyle. And thus, Srila Prabhupada, through his purports, through his guidance, through his representatives, and through the whole process of Krishna consciousness, has given us this facility of circumambulation. To live a life based on Krishna consciousness. To live a life based on the teachings of Krishna. But as he very rightly points out in this purport, it is not possible to do so unless one has the proper guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. So in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj and telling him that when Krishna was 3 months old, Krishna attempted to turn over. And when the child first attempts to turn over, it is also the time when the child is taken out of the house for the first time. Child cannot be taken out of the house anytime. Modern civilization means child is born, okay, 5 days are over, let us go for a party. No. The Vedic science is, when the child is born and the child attempts to turn over the first time, which is usually between 2 and 3 months, that's the first time that the child is taken out of the house. So Krishna turned over for the first time. So it was also the first time that Krishna was to be taken out of the house. And the nakshatra Rohini and moon were in constellation with each other. So that is the event. The event is Krishna has turned over for the first time. It's time to take him outside. And it's an auspicious moment because Rohini and Chandra are in constellation with each other. Mother Yashoda decided to celebrate a festival. How did she decide to celebrate a festival? She invited all the ladies of Braja. Samaveta Yoshitam. Come, let's have a festival. And when they all came together, what did they do? Vaditra Geetaha. There was musical instruments that were being played and Kirtan was sung. What else did she do? She invited the Brahmanas and asked all the Brahmanas to chant mantras. What else did she do? She took all auspicious ingredients and bathed Krishna, performed an Abhishek to Krishna. What else did she do? She offered charity. What charity did she give? She gave Anna, food. She gave garlands, srag. She gave clothes, vasaha. And she gave cows, abhishtadhenubihi. In this way, Mother Yashoda was celebrating a glorious festival called as the Authanika festival. There are 4 key lessons that we can learn from the first scene of the story. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, the first lesson, that Vedic culture, childbirth is a privilege, not a burden. Why? Because everything regarding the child is a celebration. Before the birth of the child, celebration, Garbhadan Samskar. Parents are coming together, devotees come together for blessing. There is a massive festival held. When the child is in the womb, festival. And Prabhupada explains in his purport, there is a festival called Swada Bhakshan. When the child is in the womb, 3 months or 6, 7 months, then all the neighborhood children are called and the lady who's pregnant, her favorite preparations are made and she eats and the children eat. Festival. When the child is born, festival. The child's hair cutting ceremony, festival. The child's name giving ceremony, festival. The child's first Anna, festival. Vedic civilization is full of festivals. And Srila Prabhupada explains, in the Vedic civilization, childbirth is not at all a burden. It's such a welcome addition to the family, to the society, that even the turning over of the child is a festival. Now that's too much. You know, name giving, fine. Annaprashan, fine. The child attempts, not even turned over, attempts to turn over. Festival is celebrated. यू नो nowadays पीपल get टेंशन हियरिंग दिस. बोलो फेस्टिवल करते रहेंगे साल भर तो जितना कलेक्ट किया सब चला जाएगा, ऑल द मनी विल बी ओवर. बट श्रील प्रभुपाद एक्सप्लेन्स दिस एज द फर्स्ट पॉइंट इन दिस पर्पोर्ट दैट वैदिक सिविलाइजेशन चाइल्ड बर्थ इज अ ग्रेट प्रिविलेज नॉट अ बर्डन. देन सेकेंडली द फाइव एलिमेंट्स ऑफ द फेस्टिवल आर समवेत योषिताम. श्रील प्रभुपाद focused his festivals in the Hare Krishna movement on these five things. Samaveta Yoshitam. All the devotees should come together. Like Mother Yashoda gathered all the Brajabasis together. Similarly, festival means one should gather all the devotees together. Janmashtami, Gaur Purnima, Ram Navami, any festival, Samaveta Yoshitam. Everyone comes together. Secondly, after one comes together, what do? We sing some cinema songs or we sing some, you know, Hollywood songs. No. Vaditra Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains. Kirtan is performed in a festival. Not just that. Mantraha. All the Brahmanas are reciting mantras. Not just that. Abhishechanam Suno. Abhishek of the deities of the Lord is taking place. And the fifth, charity is given out. Srila Prabhupada modeled his festivals exactly the way Mother Yashoda celebrated the festival in Vrindavan. And therefore, if we think what's happening, you know, someone's chanting mantra, someone's having kirtan, what's happening in this Hare Krishna temple? No. Srila Prabhupada, following the parampara of the Brajavasis, has given us a perfect formula for our festivals in the Hare Krishna temple. All these five things that Mother Yashoda did. Coming together, having kirtan, chanting of mantras, right, abhishekam, and profuse distribution of charity. Right. In the Hare Krishna temple also, we find this happens. But the most important element of a festival is the chanting of kirtan. Because in mantras, there can always be gadbad. There can always be some flaw and the result can be totally different. If we chant mantras wrongly, the result can be totally different. Like one of our congregation devotees, he got married before he became a devotee. And after he became a devotee, he was watching the video of his marriage and he realized that the pandit was chanting sannyas mantras on the wedding day. That's like too much, you know. The wedding day, both are getting married and the pandit is chanting sannyas mantras. So, chanting of mantras is not for Kali Yuga. We might chant it as an extra thing. But the pronunciation, the meter and all of these count when we chant the mantras. And if we chant the mantras wrongly, it's not right to do that. Sometimes, particularly demigod mantras can have totally opposite effects. Like in the case of Tvashta, he was performing a fire sacrifice to avenge the death of his son Vishwarup. And he chanted the mantra Indra Shatro. Let there be an enemy to Indra born who can kill Indra. And instead of chanting Indra Shatro, he chanted Indra Shatroho long. You know, Indra Shatro, instead of Indra Shatro, Indra Shatroho. So a demon was born, but instead of the demon killing Indra, Indra became the responsible factor to kill the demon. So the demon was meant to kill Indra. Instead, Indra killed the demon, Vritrasura. One mantra syllable wrong here and there, uthal puthal, ulta pulta results can come. Right. And therefore, mantras are good. But Hari Nam is best. Because no problem. Hare Krishna, you say, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You know, some devotees, they chant Krishna. Some chant Krishna. Marathi, Maharashtrian devotees chant Krishna. Right. And Gujarati devotees will chant Krishna. Right. And then you will find Bengali devotees chant Kishno. All kinds of the pronunciations will hear, you know, Krishna, Krishna, Kishno, Kishno, some chant Hare Kisan. That's like an extreme thing. Hare Kisan, 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 Hare. I've heard some devotees chant, you know, from North India, UP and other places, they don't chant, call Krishna, Krishna. They say Krishna, they call Kisan. So they chant, Hare Kisan, Hare Kisan. Now that's like a big deviation in chanting a mantra. Right. Huh? Huh? Krishna. Yeah, they chant Krishna. Because there is no Krishna. They chant Krishna. They chant Lama. And the other day I was mentioning in the Sunday class, if they are chanting Hale Lama, does a Buddhist Lama come for them? No. They are chanting mantra. The Hare Krishna mantra chanted differently. Doesn't matter. The name of the Lord doesn't matter. Mantras may have flaws. Different mantras. But the Hare Krishna mantra, no flaw. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was about to go to the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha airplane came for him. And Sadhvasa Vismrita Krama. He did not remember how to welcome the Vishnu Dutas. You know, Vishnu Dutas have to be worshipped in a certain krama. Asana is offered, Argya, Padya, Achmanyam. He forgot totally, bewildered. Who are this brilliant personalities have come? What should I do? And what did he do? Grinan Madhudvishaha. He simply chanted the names of the Lord. And all mistakes were forgiven. And therefore in Abhishek, you know, sometimes when a particular fruit juice is offered, if the fruits are not proper, you know, the fruit juice cause inconvenience to their lordships. But by the chanting of the holy name, everything is nullified. All mistakes are taken care of. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, in each festival, gave more importance to hearing chanting than the other things. Yes, Abhishekam is there. Yes, mantra chanting is there. But the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, Kirtan, and hearing the Lord's glories nullifies all the mistakes in the festival. Therefore, when Srila Prabhupada installed deities in the Krishna Balaram temple, he invited all of these Brahmanas to chant mantra so that everyone accepts it is an authentic temple. But as the Brahmanas were chanting mantras, Srila Prabhupada asked devotees to increase the volume of Kirtan. Because he knew that when we chant Sankirtan, all the mistakes, all the shortcomings, all the flaws are nullified. Similarly, in our Krishna consciousness, in our sincere endeavor to please Guru and Krishna, there may be many flaws. Our efforts are always flawed with some mistake because this is Kali Yuga. Kaler dosha nidhi rajan. It is dosha nidhi, full of faults. And all our efforts will be tinged with some fault or the other. But asti heko mahan gunaha, there is one good quality. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. Chanting of the holy names of Krishna, which will nullify all faults, all flaws, all difficulties. And therefore, Mahaprabhu's movement is not, you know, a preaching philosophy movement. Mahaprabhu's movement is Harinam Sankirtan movement. And the more importance we give to Sankirtan, the more importance we give to the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, the lesser the faults in our endeavors. Or definitely whatever faults are there will be pardoned, will be excused in our efforts to try to please Guru and Krishna. Srila Gaurakishwardas Babaji Maharaj once told all of his disciples, tomorrow we are going to have a big festival, so everyone should come. And all the disciples came, not disciples, followers and fans, they came to observe the festival. And Gaurakishwardas Babaji Maharaj sat down and they chanted Hare Krishna. The festival was, they were chanting the holy name constantly. And they were waiting, when Prasad will come? When Prasad will come? Festival means Prasad. Even if it's a Janmashtami, we wait for Ekadashi Prasad. Ekadashi to Ekadashi, chalega. But some Prasad will come. And the whole day passed by and Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj did not even mention something like Mahaprasade Govindi. All day long they chanted Hare Krishna. And they asked, what? Babaji Maharaj, it was a festival. He said, yeah, festival of chanting the holy name. Festival means chanting the holy name, he said. In our case, we may not be able to observe a festival like that. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada also incorporated the second thing very well, charity. You know, giving in charity. Mother Yashoda gave clothes, garlands, food and desirable cows. Out of which if we start giving clothes in charity, Hare Krishna temple will soon go bankrupt. You know, and people will all make a choice. They won't want dhotis, kurtas. They'll say, you know, please give us a Mark Spencer or a Louis Phillips or a John Players or a Ray Taylor. You know, everyone will come with their choices. You know, please give us this in charity. Garlands, well, to give garlands to 2,000 devotees in charity is not easy. And especially if it's a country like Russia, in Moscow, one rose flower costs $4. In Moscow, no one gets a garland. When you give a lecture, there is no garland. Nowhere there is a garland to the speaker. Why? Because one rose flower costs between $2 and $4. Very expensive in the Western world, garlands. Can't give charity of flowers and garlands. Cows, desirable cows, Mother Yashoda gave. If we can't give cows, we can give cows in charity, of course. And if we can't give cows in charity, at least we can take some responsibility of serving the cows. We may not be able to give cows in charity, but we can definitely take some responsibility of serving the cows and follow Mother Yashoda's footsteps of observing Krishna festival by serving the cows in whatever small way we can. In our Janmashtami festival, the Hota, you know, after Krishna's festival, Abhishek is done, then there is a Yagyik Brahman who comes and performs the Yagya. And he has to give cow in charity, so there is silver cow. So he gives silver cow in charity and after the Yagya is over, takes back for the next year. And the cow is taken back. So the next year, the same cow can be used as charity. But the fourth thing is Anna, which Mother Yashoda gave. And Srila Prabhupada incorporated that in his festival. Although cows, garlands and food cannot be given, profuse amount of prasadam can be distributed. And charity of the holy name, charity of the prasadam is a Hare Krishna festival. So no Hare Krishna festival ends without kirtan. No Hare Krishna festival ends without prasadam. And the glory of prasadam, we know what prasadam can do. We have heard of Steve Jobs, you know, review of the Hare Krishna movement, that what saved me was Krishna's prasadam. One young guy came, you know, he said, I hated khichdi in my life. My mother always made khichdi and I didn't look at khichdi. And I never ate with my hands. So I asked, well, how did you eat? I thought he ate with legs or what. Said, I never ate with my hands. Said, I always ate with spoon. And the first time I came for Hare Krishna, and he was an atheist. Total atheist. Very fashionable, hip guy. Hair this long. He came first time to the Hare Krishna temple. Her Shikshashtakam Puru was doing a program. He came and he sat. And the first program, he changed from atheist to theist. Ek lecture. One lecture. And he said, you Hare Krishna people are too dangerous. One lecture and you change people's paradigm. No, totally changed. And after the whole thing was over, they gave him a plate of khichdi. And he saw this khichdi. He said, I'm not going to come here again. He may be very convincing, he may be very nice, the philosophy may be very, very nice, but if they're giving khichdi, I hate khichdi. I can never stand the sight of khichdi, what to speak of eating it. And he said, it was right in front of him now. And his friend said, Are khale, khale, chalega. No, you should not dishonor, this man is nice. Just eat. Plus, they didn't give him a spoon. Never eaten with his hands. They didn't even give him a spoon. And finally, he just started eating with his hands for the first time in his life. And half the khichdi is spilling on his t-shirt. You know, a young man never eaten with his hands in his life. Eating, half the khichdi gone down. And this man became such a khichdi fan. First time. He's a khichdi fanatic, in fact. If he comes here, if we offer him any other prasad, he says, ye please fancy khana nahi chahiye. Wo sab bahar khate hain hum log. We don't need your fancy khana. Just feed good khichdi. He says, even to this day, I hate khichdi. Only Hare Krishna khichdi is nice. And this man has gone such a far way in this 1 year, just by the power of prasad, chanting Hare Krishna, studying in Chicago now. Anytime he comes in Chicago, he gets newer and newer of his hip friends. Just 3 weeks back, he brought a guy from Toronto. He came for 3 weeks, only three programs. And before going to Toronto, this man is already chanting Hare Krishna in three programs. He's gone to Toronto and he's asking, where are the contacts? We want to chant Hare Krishna. We want to get connected to your temples. Power of the charity of prasadam. Mother Yashoda celebrated the festival with charity. The third very powerful lesson from this scene is, did Nanda Maharaj tell Yashoda that you observe a festival? Nanda Maharaj had not told Yashoda that you should observe this festival for Krishna. Then how did Yashoda come to know? Nanda Maharaj had a strong desire that this festival should be celebrated, but he had not communicated to Yashoda Mai. How did she come to know? Shukadeva Goswami calls Mother Yashoda as Sati, a very chaste wife. Because Yashoda was such a chaste wife, by the power of her chastity to her husband, she could read the mind of her husband. Although Nanda Maharaj did not verbally tell her to organize a festival, based on the power of her chastity and loyalty to Nanda Maharaj, she understood what Nanda Maharaj wanted and she orchestrated the whole thing. And therefore, there is a very important, powerful third lesson in this scene in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Chanakya Pandit compares the spiritual master to a husband and compares the disciple to a wife. And the child that is born is compared to knowledge or bhakti. Just like when the husband and the wife come together, a child is born. Similarly, when there is a good combination of a guru and a disciple who's like the husband and the wife, the thing that is born is knowledge, realization, and bhakti. Therefore, Chanakya compares guru to be a husband and a disciple to be a wife. Just like a wife is extremely chaste to the husband, similarly, a disciple should also be extremely chaste to the spiritual master. And just like by the power of the chastity and loyalty to the husband, the wife understands what is the mind of the husband, similarly, by the power of chastity and loyalty to the spiritual master, the disciple understands what the heart of the spiritual master is. The spiritual master doesn't have to tell the disciple then do this, do that. The disciple, based on his chastity to his guru's instructions, understands the mood, understands the heart of Sri Guru, and accordingly serves the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada called such a disciple to be a first-class disciple. First-class disciple means doesn't have to be told, do this, don't do this. Based on his faith, based on his chastity, he understands the heart of the Guru and serves him accordingly. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale. Rupa Goswami was such a first class disciple who understood the heart of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not have to tell Rupa Goswami, do this, don't do this. But because of his chastity to Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understood the heart of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accordingly orchestrated the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. The third class disciple is someone, if the guru even tells him to do something, still that guy doesn't understand and is not willing to do it. Just like there was a guru and a disciple. The guru was going on the horse and the disciple was walking along with him. So, guru was carrying many things and he was carrying a bunch of books. So, the bunch of books fell off the horse and the disciple did not pick it up. So later in the next village, the guru said, where are my books? Said, oh, Guru Maharaj, the books fell off. So why didn't you pick up? So you didn't tell me to pick up. So the guru said, okay. Now on, whatever falls off the horse, you pick up. So after a while, when the guru reached the next village, the disciple bought a bag full of horse dung. Because the guru had said, whatever falls off the horse, you pick up. So the horse had only passed some stool. So he picked up a bag full of horse dung and brought it to the guru. The guru said, what a duffer he is, you know. What a horrible disciple have, doesn't understand what has to be done and what is not to be done. So now the guru said, I'll make a list of things. Whatever is written, you should pick up. Whatever is not written, you should not pick up. So he gave the list. And after a while, the horse went mad seeing something and he starts, you know, making all kinds of sound. And the guru fell up and the disciple just stood there. And the guru shouted, hey, give me a hand, I'm suffering here, I'm hurt, pick me up. He said, Guru Maharaj, you're not on the list. You said only whatever is on the list you should pick up. But since you are not on the list, doesn't look like you should be picked up. That's a third class disciple. First class disciple, without having to say anything, understands and does things. Second, third class disciple, even after having told, can't understand and doesn't follow. Srila Prabhupada wanted the devotees in the Hare Krishna movement to be second class disciples. One may not be first class like Yashoda Mai is, simply based on her chastity to her husband, Nanda Maharaj, understands the heart of her husband. One may not be first class that one can understand the heart of the guru and start doing things. But Srila Prabhupada said, second class disciple means that the guru will say, do this. And he will say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this verse which talks about, yes, sir, I shall definitely do it. Badham iti anumanyeta gauravena guru sevaya. Gauravena, with great respect, the disciple will serve the spiritual master. How? Badham iti. Yes, sir. There is no question of thinking that the spiritual master is saying something incorrect. The disciple has the scope to discuss with the spiritual master. The disciple has the scope to submit and propose his side to the spiritual master. But the disciple has no scope to say no to the spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport that if a disciple says, this is incorrect and therefore I shall not follow it, Srila Prabhupada said, such a disciple is already fallen. As soon as a disciple thinks that what the spiritual master is doing is incorrect, such a disciple is already fallen. And therefore, second class disciple means, Badham iti anumanyeta gauravena guru sevaya. Badham iti anumanyeta. Yes, sir. Second class disciple means, yes, sir. Guru Maharaj is saying this, I shall do it. I'm not able to understand, I'll question. I'll clarify. I will understand. I'll submit myself and propose what I have to say. But once he says, no, this is how it must be done, then Badham iti. Srila Prabhupada translates this word, Badham iti as, yes, sir. There is no question of saying no. And therefore, Kripamaya Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, once we were taking lunch with him, and he was saying, the four most difficult things to, you know, comprehend in the Hare Krishna movement. Intensively they get more and more difficult. First is, the holy name is non-different from Krishna. Very difficult to understand. One may have faith and one may try to chant the holy name, but to know that Krishna and his name are non-different, very tough. Second, he said, to understand the deity and Krishna are non-different, difficult. Holy name, to by chanting some bliss, something is happening. Deity, still one might think this is stone. This is not Krishna. How is this stone and Krishna non-different? More difficult than this, he said, is to know that the dham and Krishna are non-different. Krishna's dham is the spiritual world. One goes, one sees some hogs moving around, one sees some sewers, one sees some dirty gutters. And how does one understand this is Golok Vrindavan? This is non-different from the spiritual world. And he says the greatest and the toughest is to see that Krishna and the spiritual master are non-different. Sakshad haritvena samasta shastrair uktastatha bhavyata eva sadvi. In the 10th canto also Krishna says that, you know, acharya mam vijaniyam. One should understand that the acharya is no one but me. Of course, that's not the Mayavad philosophy that guru is Krishna. But it's very hard to understand how guru is representing Krishna fully, because we see the spiritual master in flesh and bone. Just like we see the holy name as ordinary sound vibration, we can't see it's Krishna. Just like we see the deity is simply some stone, we can't see it's Krishna. Just like we see the dham as an ordinary tract of land, we can't see it's Krishna. And therefore, because the spiritual master moves taking an ordinary form, a material form, it's very difficult to comprehend that the spiritual master is a representative of Krishna and is Sakshad Hari, Acharyamam, Vijaniyam. Extremely difficult. And therefore, sometimes when the spiritual master gives instructions, it's very difficult to comprehend. Very difficult to go along, because he's functioning on a different plane, on a spiritual plane, and we are still functioning on a material plane, and that dichotomy, that gap, causes confusion. Causes confusion. Managerially, materially, we think that something is right, and on a spiritual platform, the spiritual master thinks something else is right, because he's functioning on a different plane, he knows the larger picture, and that dichotomy causes such confusion in the heart of a disciple, because he's not able to come to terms with reality. He's not able to come to terms with fact that, yes, the spiritual master is a representative of Krishna. He sees things on a spiritual plane. I may try to understand it, but there's no question of saying no. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, Badham iti anumanyeta gauravena guru sevaya. Ask, question, clarify, submit, propose. But he said, don't ever say no. Second class disciple means, yes, sir, is what Srila Prabhupada said. And therefore, at a certain stage in a sadhaka's life, he has to start a business with the spiritual master. So Krishna consciousness and relationship with the spiritual master is all about business. It needs investment. Investment is the investment of faith. A lot of reasoning can be used. And it's not blind faith, of course. We have reasoned it out. We've seen that it works. And after all of that, investment of faith is very much essential. Because when that investment is made, then the return is a positive experience of how it is right. When a disciple invests faith in the words of the spiritual master and tries to follow, eventually he comes to terms with reality that what was spoken was right. And therefore, one has to learn how to invest one's faith in the spiritual master. So the third lesson we learn from this scene is, Mother Jashoda understood the heart of Nanda Maharaj that she wanted a festival because of her chastity. That is first class disciple. Because of his total dedication, he understands the heart of the Guru. But Srila Prabhupada said, be at least second class. Whatever is said, follow. Yes, sir. The fourth thing that we learned from this particular scene of the story is that Mother Jashoda, when she gave in charity, she is called Manaswini. With a liberal mind, she offered charity. What was the purpose of her offering charity? The purpose of her offering charity was twofold. Firstly, she wanted to bring fame to her husband Nanda Maharaj. Mother Jashoda did not want to be known as a charitable lady. Mother Jashoda wanted Nanda Maharaj to be famous. So all what she was doing was to bring good name to Nanda Maharaj. So also a disciple, whatever he does in his life, is to bring good name to the spiritual master. Every act of a disciple's life is simply meant to bring good name to the spiritual master. Our Gurudas Prabhu, he tells the story. I've told this many times, but it's an interesting story. Gurudas Prabhu, when he was in Bombay, he was trying to make life members, and he got an appointment with Mr. Parle, the owner of Parleji, which is at Ville Parle. So he went there in time, but Mr. Parle was a little busy. So Gurudas Prabhu entered the room about 4-5 minutes late, and Mr. Parle started chastising him that how could you come late? I gave you an appointment, you should have come in time. And Gurudas Prabhu got wild and furious. I didn't get late, you called me in late. And he started shouting and screaming, speaking a little heavily. So Mr. Parle was very upset. He said, is this what your spiritual master has done to you? Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, this is the difference that has come in your life after you come to the Hare Krishna movement. By coming in the Hare Krishna movement and following your Guru's orders, there should be a positive change. What is this? You're still screaming, yelling, still getting angry. How can you do like this? Gurudas Prabhu replied and said, look, sir, if I wouldn't have been a disciple of Bhaktivedanta Swami, by now I would have cut your throat off. But by surrendering to Bhaktivedanta Swami, instead of cutting the throat, now I'm simply speaking some heavy words. That is the change that the connection with my spiritual master has brought to me. Of course, it's not to say that we start doing some things like this. That's not the point. The point is that by connection to the spiritual master, by serving the spiritual master, one should bring good name to the spiritual master. Mr. Parle became a life member. Became a life member after hearing this answer. This is what I was, and this is what I am. And the factor responsible for the change in my life, the transformation in my life, is my spiritual master. That brings good name to the spiritual master. The second purpose of giving in charity, Mother Jashoda's giving in charity, was to seek the blessings of the Brahmanas, to bring good name to Nanda Maharaj, and to seek the blessings of the Brahmanas assembled. Similarly, whatever we do, whatever devotional service, is meant to seek blessings of devotees. And the other day I was mentioning that the word bless is interesting, because when devotees bless, the alphabet B in the word bless is burden. As soon as devotees bless, life becomes B-less, burdenless. All the burdens of the anarthas slowly start going down. Our chanting Hare Krishna, our practice of Krishna consciousness, has very less or no meaning without the blessings of superiors, without the blessings of devotees. Just like Yashoda was giving in charity to seek the blessings of the Brahmanas for Krishna, similarly, our giving in charity, our devotional service, is meant to seek the blessings of the devotees for our Krishna consciousness. Yashoda wanted blessings for Krishna. We want blessings for our Krishna consciousness. Jashoda wants Krishna to grow. We want our Krishna consciousness to grow. Jashoda knows the Brahmana should bless. We should know devotees should bless. How will the Brahmanas bless? Serve them. Give them in charity. How will the devotees bless? Serve them. Give them in charity. A devotee in Moscow, Shubh Vilas Prabhu, he was saying that he used to celebrate his son's birthday in order to get blessings, obviously. And he would call all of his friends, relatives, etc. They would all come. And he said, for 3 consecutive years I observed, not one person attended to my child. They came to my house and they were just chatting with each other, gossiping with each other. They were eating all the nice food that we cooked. And while going off, once this devotee heard, one of the guys entering into the lift said, what horrible food he's feeding us. He said, I spent so much money in making such nice prasad and organize this whole program, but people outside, they're always there to look at some fault and forget about blessing the child. No one even came and gave some good wishes to the child, he said. So the next year I decided, I'm going to celebrate my child's birthday with the devotees. So he sponsored a massive feast for the devotees, Russian devotees, about 200-300 devotees. And when the prasad was being served, he was also going around. Everyone was asking, what is the occasion? Why are you serving prasadam? Why are you sponsoring this prasadam? And then they announced it is a child's birthday. And without even having to solicit the blessings, everyone shouted, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And he decided, henceforth, I am going to celebrate my child's birthday with devotees. This is not a message or anything that the child's birthday should be celebrated with devotees or not. No. I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just giving an example that devotees are concerned about blessings. Right. So Mother Jashoda wanted the blessings of the Brahmanas for Krishna. So 4 lessons learned so far in scene 1 of the story is Prabhupada explaining that childbirth is a privilege. It is not a burden. Secondly, a festival. How Srila Prabhupada orchestrated the festival based on Mother Jashoda's celebration of the festival and prime importance to chanting the holy name and charity of Krishna Prasad. Thirdly, chastity of Mother Jashoda to Nanda Maharaj made her understand the heart of Nanda Maharaj. Chastity of a disciple makes him understand the mood of Guru. Prabhupada said, at least be a yes sir disciple, second class. And fourthly, Mother Jashoda gave in charity to the Brahmanas. Why? 2. 1. To bring good name to her husband Nanda Maharaj, not to be known as famous herself. And secondly, to get the blessings of all the Brahmanas. How would the Brahmanas bless the child? He is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. How would they give blessings? They know he is the Supreme Lord. They have knowledge of the Vedic literatures. So as Mother Jashoda was holding Krishna, Krishna closed his eyes. Sanjata Nidraksham. He started feeling sleepy. And our acharyas have explained, when Krishna closed his eyes, the Brahmana's inner eyes of knowledge also got closed. Their outside eyes were open, but their inner eyes of knowledge was stopping them from blessing the child. If they know he is God, how will they bless the child? So when Krishna closed the eyes, shutter down, you know, inside their heart, their jnana chakshu, the eyes of knowledge also closed. And therefore, they offered their blessings to Krishna. Meanwhile, Mother Jashoda saw scene 2 of the story. So many guests have come. Krishna is anyways feeling sleepy. I also need to take care of the guests. So Mother Jashoda took baby Krishna and there was a cart, a shakata there. Mother Jashoda took baby Krishna. Below the cart was a bedstead studded with rubies, corals, pearls, emeralds, sapphires, jade stones. Very expensive. And the bed was covered with a bed sheet, white like powdered fine camphor. On this white bed sheet, the contrast of Krishna's blackish blue body was standing out amazingly. In order to screen Krishna from the sunshine in the courtyard, Mother Jashoda picked Krishna up and put him on the bedstead under the cart, the shakata, so that Krishna would peacefully rest. And what did she do? She went around taking care of the guests. Obviously, there was a lot of socializing going on. obviously they were all talking to each other. Oh, Mother Yashoda, where did you get this jewelry from? And then someone else was saying, oh, Mother Yashoda, the food was very nice. Who was the caterer for the event? There was a lot of discussion that was going on amongst Mother Yashoda and Samaveta Yoshitam, all the ladies that had assembled for this festival called the Auttanika ceremony. Meanwhile, as she was busy doing all of that, Krishna under the cart was hungry. Stanarthi, just like there is Dhanarthi, one who wants Dhana, Moksharthi, one who wants Moksha, Vidyarthi, one who wants Vidya. Krishna in this case was Stanarthi. He wanted the milk of Mother Yashoda. So Krishna started crying. Rudan Stanarthi na Ashrunot Yashoda. Rudan Stanarthi, because he wanted Mother Yashoda's milk. Rudan, Krishna started crying. But there was too much ha-halla, you know, there was too much shor. There was a lot of sound in the household. So much discussion and so much talk and singing and all of that. Na ashrinot. Mother Yashoda could not hear that Krishna was crying. Because Krishna was hungry and Mother Yashoda did not hear, the hungry Krishna became angry also. And he kicked the cart. And the cart came crumbling down. Scene 2 of the story also has amazing lessons. The first lesson is, when someone is absorbed in something inferior, the superior call of Krishna can never be heard. Of course, Mother Yashoda is under Yoga Maya, but our acharyas have given this lesson that since she was so busy with other things, she could not hear the calling of Krishna. Just like from under the cart, Krishna was calling for Mother Yashoda. He was Tanarthi. Similarly, from within the heart, Krishna is constantly sending calls. Like he was Tanarthi with Mother Yashoda, he is Bhaktyarthi with all of us. He wanted Mother Yashoda's milk. He wants our devotion, our bhakti. But just like Mother Yashoda, so busy taking care of the guests, busy in so many of the other things, could not hear Krishna. Similarly, when our mind, our consciousness is inferiorly absorbed, hearing the call of Krishna is impossible. Krishna is calling again and again. There is a call from within. What the modern world calls as conscience is the call of Krishna. There is a gut feeling from within, don't do this. A gut feeling from within, don't criticize this devotee. A gut feeling from within, don't do this wrong thing. A gut feeling from within, I must do this right thing. That gut feeling, that conscience, or what is called in modern language as the sixth sense, is Krishna crying from within. Is Krishna calling from within. Just like Krishna's crying from under the cart. But the problem is, Mother Yashoda cannot hear. And similarly, many times Krishna is calling, but we are not able to hear because of inferior absorption. There were two friends walking on the sidewalk, a footpath. And as both of them were walking, there was mayhem, you know, chaos all over. Horns honking, hawkers screaming, so much noise, you would hardly hear each other speaking. And this one friend told the other friend, wait a minute, you know. And then he just walked a little behind, and then he went behind a little bush there, and he found a little cricket, insect cricket. And he pulled that insect cricket out, was injured, hurt. He put it back on the leaf and both friends started walking. The other friend said, hey, tell me one thing. How did you hear the sound of that cricket? I mean, I'm not able to hear the sound of you speaking to me. So much mayhem and chaos here. How did you hear the sound of that cricket? He said, you want to know how? Just look at this. He pulled his wallet out. And from the wallet, he took a 1 rupee coin. And just from top, he released this 1 rupee coin. The coin came on the sidewalk, the footpath, jingled and fell flat. Now, the coin made hardly any sound, such a tiny jingling sound. And everyone walking looked behind. Mera paisa hai kya? Is it my coin? And the friend answered, see, their consciousness is absorbed in money and therefore the jingling sound Immediately they feel, is it my rupee coin? Everyone turned behind. How did they hear the sound in so much chaos? How did they hear the sound in so much mayhem? Because their mind is absorbed in something. Barabar sunta hai. As soon as the mind is absorbed in something, there is selective hearing. Automatically that sound we are able to hear. So why can't I hear the sound of the cricket if my mind is absorbed in helping others? And therefore, the more absorbed one is in Krishna consciousness, the more one will hear the clarion call of Krishna. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he gives the example of the two dogs. Inside there is a good dog and there is a bad dog. The bad dog has become so prominent by feeding it. Whichever dog we feed becomes stout and barks loud. So lifetimes after lifetimes we've been feeding the bad dog, and the dog's sound has become so loud and we are absorbed in hearing that sound so loud that the sound of the good dog, of course I'm not comparing Krishna to the good dog, but just in the example, right? The sound that comes from Krishna within can't hear only. And therefore, Radhanath Maharaj explains that it is important to slowly first stop feeding the bad dog. If the bad dog is not fed, then the bad dog gets weaker, weaker, and slowly the barking goes down and the little feeble sound of the good dog can now at least be heard. And while we stop feeding the bad dog, we also have to start feeding the good dog. So as the bad dog sound goes low, the good dog sound goes high. Mother Yashoda could not hear Krishna's crying. Why? Very simple. She was busy and so much sound around, the sound of Krishna was not heard. Similarly, within there are so many sounds of the bad dog that Krishna is calling from within as Paramatma. Krishna is calling from without as Srila Prabhupada's purports. Krishna is calling from without as Bhagavatam classes. Krishna is calling from without as devotees. Krishna is calling from without as situations in life. But we are not able to hear Krishna's call because of the sound in the heart too prominent. How Krishna works is amazing though. How Krishna will give a call from within is amazing. Recently when we were in the UK, in London, an amazing thing took place which humbled me actually. You know, and it was kind of really very striking and amazing. And I thought whether I should tell the story or not, but because it's relevant and I thought it's striking. Amazing how Paramatma works. Therefore, I thought I'll share this story. Our Dr. Sanjeev Agarwal Prabhu in London, he arranged for us to go for a program at a very, very big man's house. He's the chairman of a multinational company, this man. So I was scheduled to speak on the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The whole chapter in about an hour, hour and a half. So Braj Bihari Prabhu, you know, he's a very brilliant preacher. And amazingly, he makes all of his preaching so relevant. So he had made an acronym for chapter 2, which was triple S, triple K, SSS, KKK, or S cube, K cube. If you remember SSS, KKK, you know what chapter 2 is. That's how he had made it. So he had sent it to me. So I thought it's easy. I'll just, you know, speak this triple S, triple K and things will work out. But as we were on the way, I was thinking that in the triple S, triple K, the first S is surrender. And to an audience like that, to use the word surrender can mean very heavy. So as we were driving to the place, we thought we will change the words. And so we made a new acronym. By the time I was there, just the words finding, you know, synonyms, and changed them and made it to a new acronym. And we sat there. And about 35 to 40 people had come, all CEOs and MDs and top corporate giants, you know. I didn't expect an audience like that. All of them coming and sitting, and it's a big challenge. Tall order to, you know, give a Gita class, chapter 2, to such an audience. But anyways, I started talking and I gave the acronym. And it kept going, you know. The first alphabet came K, second came A, P, CAP. And then it became S, A, Y. And it became CAPSE. Because it became CAPSE, just to put it rightly, later I said I will make it, you know, say CAP. So, I concluded CAPSE and then said, okay, just to remember it easily, we can remember saying, say CAP. You know, say CAP is easy. After the whole program was over, dinner, everyone was taking dinner. And this gentleman said, could you take dinner with me, please? He said, it's an honor for me to eat with you, privilege. So myself, Shikshashtakam Prabhu, this MNC CEO, chairman, he and one or two others, we sat taking dinner. This man said, I've never heard something so sensible in my whole life. And I said, my God, thank you. And I was feeling, wow, very good. What a lecture I gave. I must have given a real good class and all of that. I was thinking, amazing. And then he said, you know what? It was simply amazing. I'll never forget it in my life. He said, when you were talking, when you said K, he said, very nice. So when you said A, good. He said P, not possible. Aisa nahi ho sakta. This man is thinking in his heart. Aisa nahi ho sakta. How can this be possible? Then when it came K, A, P, S, I said, this is too much. This can't be true. It's too much to be true. K, A, P, S, A. He said, no, no, I'm not accepting this. This is not how it will work. K-A-P-S-A-Y. He said, impossible. How can this be? His surname is Mr. Kapoor. I won't mention the initial name. His surname is Mr. Kapoor. All through his college days, his friends called him Capsay. K-A-P-S-A-Y. And he said, your lecture made such tremendous sense to me. I'll never forget it. I thought my lecture was so good, you know. But he said, this acronym, K-A-P-S-A-Y, CAPSAY, said, never in my life I'll forget it. His son studies at London School of Economics. Said, never in our life we'll forget this. And they immediately gave a second invitation. Chapter 3, you only come up, please, to teach. They thought maybe they'll get some other acronyms. But how Paramatma's clarion call comes. I was humbled because I was going to speak S-S-K-K-K. But just changed it on the spot, Paramatma, realizing, you know, this how Paramatma's call can come for someone. But the only question is whether we hear it or not. Krishna is a God who wants attention. As soon as we choose him, he wants attention of Mother Yashoda. And if we're not willing to give him attention, then he causes tension in life. Right. That is Krishna. Right. If we are not willing to give him attention, he will definitely cause tension. Like Arshuti Varma Prabhu says, Hare Krishna is mafia. Join, you can't leave. Once you join this mafia gang, can't leave. Krishna won't allow us to leave easily. You know? So, Krishna thought she is not giving me attention. Okay. I'm going to create some tension. So, he kicked the cart. And when he kicked the cart came crumbling down. When the cart came crumbling down, few things happened. First, the cart broke off. Second, all the utensils that had ghee, honey, molasses, and all kinds of amazing eatables and edibles, all of that spilled over and fell off. Third, the axle which connects the two wheels of the cart broke off and the two wheels got dislocated. One went in one direction, the other went in the other direction. There are six powerful lessons to be learned from this. And that's the conclusion. That's the whole story of Shakatasura. In brief. The first is Srila Prabhupada in his purport quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This proves Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because in order to kill Hiranyakashipu, what the Lord had to do? Become half lion, half man, you know, kill this way, that way. Little trouble still for the Lord. And in order to, you know, take the benediction of Bali Maharaj, what did the Lord have to do? As Vamanadev, stretch his foot high up in the space. But here is Krishna. Is lying down under the cart, simply kicks over and brings the cart down. His feet have three qualities, alpaka, pravala and mridu. Alpaka comes from balaka. Bala means a child. Balaka means a very small child. That ka means, as soon as bal comes with ka, balaka means very small child. Alpa means small, alpaka means very small. Krishna's feet were very small. Mridu, they were very soft. And pravala, they were like freshly formed mango leaf. If you see mango leaf, that fresh pinkish reddish color, that's how Krishna's lotus feet were. And therefore, even as a little child, Krishna could break this cart totally without having to take a half man, half lion form, without having to stretch his foot. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that proves Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First. Secondly, it is explained, Krishna wanted to show that one should not do atyahar. Krishna is saying, I am under the cart, I am the provider of everything, and you are storing so much on the top, is it? You think your storage will help you maintain yourself? Prabhupada writes in the purport, the source of one's income is not the source of one's maintenance. One may earn and one may have, and that's not wrong. But what is earned can also go away in taxes, can also be looted, and then how one will be maintained. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, one source of income and one source of maintenance is not one and the same. Krishna wanted to show that here I am taking care of the entire land of Vrindavan. I am right under the cart and you are storing on top of me. It's mine only. Depend on me. So Krishna kicked the cart to teach the principle of no atyahar. Don't store more than that is necessary. Of course, grihasthashram means that there has to be savings. There has to be storage. Why grihastha ashram? Even brahmachari ashram, there has to be some savings and storage. Not financial savings or storage. But you have to save your clothes. You have to keep your things. And therefore, how much is too much? How less is too less? We need guidance. There is no one blanket formula for what is atyahar. According to each individual case of a devotee, especially in the grihastha ashram, what is too much and what is too less? What is atyahar for one may not be atyahar for another based on the personal situation. And therefore, one has to take guidance from superiors, from spiritual master, to see that one does not become a victim of being over-ambitious or atyahari by just storing more and more and more without using it in service to Krishna. The third thing in kicking the cart is Krishna wanted to show that here I am, Rasaraj, the giver of all bhakti rasa, and you are prioritizing jada rasa, honey, molasses, sugar, ghee, and all the things stored are jada rasa. And here I am below giving bhakti rasa. So when bhakti rasa is there, why do you want jada rasa? And if you prioritize jada rasa, kick. Krishna kicks that cart and brings jada rasa down to tell a devotee that yes, you can have it. For survival, you can have it to live in this world. But we should seek our pleasure from connection to Krishna. So Krishna wanted to show that bhakti rasa should never be put below jada rasa. Whereas in this case, the jada rasa was on top, on the cart. And bhakti rasa, what Krishna gives, was under. So Krishna kicked the cart and brought it down. Srila Prabhupada was traveling from Zurich to St. Moritz in a train. Shutakirti Prabhu and Jai Hari Prabhu were with him, and the sight, the breathtaking sight of the Swiss Alps was too much for them to bear. And they were just like, you know, their hands were in the beads, but they were looking out of the windows. So Srila Prabhupada turned to Shutakirti Prabhu and said, so Shutakirti, what is this place called? And Shutakirti Prabhu said, Prabhupada, this is called St. Moritz. Srila Prabhupada said, they may call it St. Moritz, I call it St. Hellish, because it's all just snow, there is no trees, there is no leaves, there is no birds, there is no animal. Everyone comes here to watch this St. Moritz. I call it St. Hellish. And Shutakirti Prabhu mentions how he put it, you know, immediately put it in perspective. There is a jada rasa and there is bhakti rasa. And immediately they put their hands in their bead bags, and the rest of the journey they kept chanting Hare Krishna. Not to say that we don't go elsewhere, not to say that we don't see the mountains, not to say that. But the point is, once we take to Krishna consciousness, then our acharyas explain, we should never prioritize or substitute bhakti rasa with jada rasa. The fourth thing we learn from the story of the cart demon, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this cart full of these things represents the burden of bad habits. And in Krishna consciousness we come, but there are always some bad habits, physical, mental, intellectual, and egoistic. Bad habits are not just physical. Bad habits are on different levels. And therefore, many times in Krishna consciousness, we may struggle to deal with these bad habits. We have to put our effort, but Krishna also has to kick this cart so that the cart of bad habits comes crumbling down. When we chant Hare Krishna, we are trying to invite Krishna so that Krishna facilitates the breaking of this cart, the cart of bad habits. It's a combination of our effort and Krishna's mercy when he kicks this car, the bad habits are gone. The fifth thing is both the wheels were connected by a pole. As soon as the pole got dislocated, the axle, the wheels got dislocated. The wheels represent birth and death. One wheel is birth, the other wheel is death. And the axle represents false ego. So long as there is false ego, the cycle of birth and death will never be destroyed. So Krishna comes and Krishna also, you know, kicks the cart, breaks the false ego which is compared to the axle. And only when this axle, the false ego is gone, then the cycle of birth and death represented by these two wheels is gone, dislocated. One gets liberated. But how sometimes people can get proud because of their scholarship is amazing. There was a Digvijay Pandit, very famous scholar. He came to Mayapur, Navadvip, and he wanted to debate. You know, no one had defeated him yet. So a Bengali Sanskrit scholar came, and on the bank of the river Ganga, both of them sat, this Digvijay Pandit and the Bengali Sanskrit scholar. And everyone who came around were Bengalis. They didn't know one word of Sanskrit. And the debate was to be in Sanskrit. So they sat around, and the Digvijay Pandit said to the Bengali scholar, "You ask the first question. It's to his advantage." He said, No, you are a guest in our town, so I'll allow you." The Digvijay Pandit said, "No, you are junior to me. You ask the first question." So this Bengali scholar, he decided, he's playing around with me, I'll ask him a question. In Sanskrit, he asked the Digvijay Pandit, "How do you say in Bengali, I do not know?" So this Digvijay Pandit thought, this fellow is such a stupid fellow, what I am, I don't know this answer. He said, "Ami jani na." And the Bengali scholar turned to all the Bengalis, said, "See, I asked him a question and he's saying, Ami jani na. I do not know the answer." So everyone picked up this Digvijay Pandit and threw him in the water. You know, how Krishna can humble someone is amazing. Recently when I went to Pune for a program, I'm just confessing, this particular program was for the alumni of the college that I studied in, College of Engineering, Pune. And the topic was, is youth meant for enlightened enjoyment? So I'd prepared thoroughly well, knowing that all these engineering boys will come. Everything was prepared, everything was well set. And I went there, sat for the talk. About 80 to 100 boys had come, many of them new. And I saw one guy sitting at the back, a devotee who hates the way I give lectures, who hates the way I speak. He has come and spoken to me once, a young boy. He came and he told me once that you spoke that lecture on Shiromani and all of that. What is this nonsense, cracking jokes and all of that? You guys, you know, you don't understand. Only a thing I remembered from your lecture is a joke. I don't remember anything from your lecture. So just the way he spoke, he never told me he hates, but just the way he was talking, I gathered. This person stands sitting right there, and I have to speak. Not one word of what I had prepared I could speak. Not one word. And I could see the audience lost, completely gone. I'm not able to relate, they're not able to relate, my notes are in front of me. It was such a humiliating experience. Last several years is the most humbling and humiliating experience I've been. Just couldn't give my talk. It's a thing that I've been doing for a while. Just could not give a talk. I mean, the way Krishna can pound the false ego. You know, that whole night went in only thinking what went wrong. You know, I was trying to see what the preparation, this, that. I realized Krishna wants to humble. He can humble anyone like anything. You know. And then the last, sixth thing that we learned from this is that the son of Hiranyaksha, his name was Utkacha. He was a huge, hefty fellow. And this guy, he was creating so much trouble. He came to the ashram of Lomash Rishi and started creating trouble there. Lomash Rishi cursed him. "You become bodiless," which means you become a ghost. So his body immediately fell off and he became a ghost. He fell at the feet of Lomash Rishi and said, "My dear Lord, Master, please forgive me for what I've done. Please bless me." Lomash Rishi said, "All right, no problem." When Lord Krishna appears, then by the touch of Lord Krishna's lotus feet, you will be delivered. So this ghost, the ghost of Utkach, was roaming all over, waiting when will Krishna appear. And when Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, he was looking for an opportunity. When can I get the contact of the lotus feet of Krishna? So seeing Mother Yashoda has put Krishna under the cart, the ghost, the soul, you know, Bhatakti Atma of Utkacha, entered into the cart, Shakata. So Shakata, there is nothing like Shakata Asura. He was not an Asura. He was the ghost of this guy called Utkach who entered into the Shakata, the cart, and therefore he happened to be called as Shakata Asura. So Krishna kicked this cart and even liberated this demon, or rather this ghost called Shakatasura. So in this way, we find that Krishna's kicking the cart also has six things to it. Krishna does an apparently simple thing like kicking the cart, and so many things happen. To summarize what we discussed this morning, we discussed that Krishna-centered lifestyle is most important. Circumambulation means not just going around, but putting Krishna in the center of one's activities. Doing what the spiritual master teaches, as Srila Prabhupada explains here. And seeing the three scenes of this story, we learned some lessons. The first scene, we learned that childbirth in the Vedic culture is not a burden but a privilege. Festival means prominence is to kirtan and charity of prasadam. One may not be able to be a first-class disciple understanding the heart of the spiritual master, but at least a second-class disciple where one says, yes, sir. And fourthly, we learned that a disciple's life means two things. One, bringing good name to the spiritual master, and second, seeking blessings of everyone so that Krishna consciousness grows, like Mother Yashoda did. The second scene we saw was Mother Yashoda got very busy and could not hear the sound of Krishna. And therefore, being busy with inferior absorption, we will not be able to see Krishna's clarion call. He's calling us through different means. And thus, we heard from the example of the good dog and the bad dog, that the bad dog feeding should slowly stop, and the good dog should be fed more and more, so that Krishna's calling from within can be heard and we can respond to that call. But if we do not give attention to Krishna, we heard, Krishna creates tension in life. Well, the third scene was, Krishna hits the cart and the cart comes crumbling down. And the six things we learn from this is, number one, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of Narasimha and Vamana. Number two, Krishna explains to us, He is the source of everything and maintains us. We may have things, but what is Atyahar? Cart kicks the cart. Thirdly, Jadarasa should never be given priority over Bhakti Rasa. Fourthly, the cart of bad habits can only be brought crumbling down, definitely by our effort, but Krishna also has to give His mercy and kick the cart. Then we can deal with it. Fifthly, we discussed how the wheels represent birth and death, and the axle, the false ego. So until unless the false ego is gone and one comes to true ego, liberation from the cycle of birth and death is not possible. And sixth, we saw how the ghost of Utkacha, the son of Hiranyaksha, entered into the cart, Shakata, and therefore was liberated by the touch of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. In this way we find that in Vrindavan, everything is simply centered around Krishna with their mind, body and words. And that is called Kriya Dvaitam Tad Uchate. Service to Krishna with mind, body and words. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.